Welcome to Real Estate Redefined. My name is Tim Bray. I'm here with John Nelson. John, how are you today?
Doing well, Tim. How are you?
I am well. Hey, what's new on the docket today?
Well, you brought up the idea of the real estate cycle and how it relates to what we're going through right now. No inventory in the market, seemingly, at least in lower price ranges. And just want to tie that into a discussion this morning.
Yeah, the real estate cycles, they're really the driving force of the economy, in my opinion. We have cycles and everything. We hear the phrase flatten the curve. And it means a lot of different things, especially nowadays. But in real estate, when you have low supply, high demand with interest rates the way that they are, you inadvertently force the values or the prices of real estate up. And because you don't have that inventory there, you have buyers that are fighting to obtain real estate thinking, okay, well, financing's really low. So, this may be a once in a lifetime opportunity to purchase real estate.
So are they fighting for the opportunity to overpay?
They are, in essence, and it varies from town to town, price range to price range. But the loosening of lending standards with interest rates being extremely low and the inventory being low, people forget that, every 10 to 14 years, we do have a real estate cycle. There are ebbs and flows in the marketplace. Incomes typically should be what support real estate values. But when incomes have not gone up and real estate values have, we have a bubble that's forming. And that's what we're seeing.
So with everything going on right now with relocation, people that are buying houses maybe in this area that are from the New York area trying to get away from highly densely populated areas, if they are fighting for that opportunity to maybe overpay, how do they make that work long term? What do they have to do in order to make it in a market where they've overpaid for a home that might be devalued relatively shortly?
It really depends on what they're looking for. Some people are willing to overpay because it satisfies their need, and that need may be shelter. It may be driven by fear of being in the city. We've seen a massive shift, in my opinion, and a lot of these folks who were in the city just want to be in the suburbs now, and they look at towns like Stonington, East Lyme, out in the woods with something with acreage, where they see these numbers, they'll see a property that maybe is 800,000, which, outside of New York City may be, $1.5 million, $2 million, or even higher. And they see 800,000 as, well, wow, look what I could have gotten if I were in Fairfield County, if I were in Ridgefield or somewhere. And to them, they're just like, this is just the price I'm going to pay because somebody else is going to come along because the need and desire is there and they're going to pay it. And a lot of these people are not utilizing a lender. So when you're not utilizing a lender, you have the option not to have an appraisal done. And the appraiser being there is supposed to, somewhat protect the bank, and people are forgetting that appraiser is also there to protect them.
Well, it seems like a lot of this, your approach to a real estate cycle and actually vetting properties with respect to where the market is as a whole, as opposed to just the property, it seems like it's kind of, your approach is more of out of response than a proactive thing, like out of response to what happens in the industry. What is it? What precipitated this whole approach?
It's I think we've spoken about this before, but back in 2008, when, I didn't have comps on Mason's Island. I didn't have, I've been trained through having a degree in real estate and urban economics to do the sales comparison approach, which is great if you have properties that have sold in very close proximity to the property that you're trying to put a value on. But if you don't have that, we're finding appraisers and no defense. I know you were a previous appraiser, so I'm not trying to offend anybody, but really location is so key to real estate and real estate values. And if you try to pull to the defense of the appraiser, if you have a property, let's say it's on Mason's Island, but you have zero comps and you have to go to another location in Stonington or maybe even go to Groton, that comps, in my opinion, the value of that comp is almost worthless. So in order to look at a specific location and go back maybe 20 years and see how a property was performing when it sold, maybe it sold in 2004 and that property was performing at 130% above the Mystic market. Well, that created a good comp because we can follow that property throughout time and see if it had followed the market, assuming that the people had put in 1.5 to 2% of the property's value yearly in upkeep, maintenance, and upgrades, where would that be today? And you come up with some pretty good comps that way, and you start to learn how specific submarkets, certain waterfront communities, certain subdivisions, how they perform historically. And right now we're seeing that, you know, properties are selling for record numbers and they're breaking the rules, so to speak.
So once you get into a historical context, you get to see comparable sales that have occurred right in proximity to a subject property or maybe a home that you're actually advising a buyer on. So historically, where are we headed now?
That's a great question. I mean, we don't have a crystal ball in this, and there are a bunch of unknowns. The biggest thing that we talk about right now is the government has stepped in, and they recognize that we could have a lot of people out there that have mortgages that could completely go upside down because they're not working right now. So what they've done is they've instituted this forbearance, which says that the banks, they've given everybody a reprieve. You don't need to make your mortgage payments if you don't want to. Those will typically get tacked onto the end of the mortgage. What we don't know right now, the unknown, especially as we go from 14.86% unemployment, which is predicted to be in that 20-25% range before we're done, how many of those people that are currently unemployed and in forbearance will actually get their jobs back? And the numbers that I'm hearing right now in this area is that we have about $100 million worth of mortgages that are currently in forbearance, and that's as of about 30 days ago. So if all these people that are in forbearance get their jobs back, we're not going to have that big of a problem out there. So it's really directly correlated to how many people get their jobs back. If the banks choose to foreclose on these properties, and you and I both know it takes about 6 months to do that. So once forbearance is lifted and people, they are not able to pay their mortgages, then 6 months after that, we could potentially see a flood of foreclosures in the marketplace. And with increased supply of inventory, values have to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no incomes to support it if take a turn for the worst. Sounds like we've only scratched the surface here. From this point forward, I think it's just a to-be-continued conversation because we don't know what's coming next.
I appreciate your time, and these conversations are always enlightening, and I think I learn more about myself and the marketplace the more we discuss this.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.